turn to Proverbs 31, and I'm not going to speak on from verse 10 on. It's Mother's Day today, and of course, you know, there'd be a classic, you know, Proverbs 31 message, and we're going to hit it just slightly different, okay? But I do want to say this, that I read, as you're moving to Proverbs 31, we'll eventually find our 31, I should say, Proverbs 31, we will eventually find our way there. But I read an article this week. I wanted to give you a couple of highlights because it kind of opens up where I was hoping to spend a few minutes. And that was, I read an article this week, and it was entitled, Girl Power. It was entitled, Girl Power. And underneath, this was the sub-headline of the article. It said this, how a once invisible generation born under Taliban rule is yanking Afghanistan into the 21st century. I think that most of us know all of what went on for women in Afghanistan over the last couple of decades and what they are being set free from. And what this article focused on was in Kabul, one of the main cities, there was an orchestra, and this orchestra was being conducted by a woman, and the entire orchestra was women. And that would be the first time they thought in the history of the nation that there would be a symphony led by a woman and played, with every instrument being played by women. The other part of the story where there was mountain bike racing. And who was racing the mountain bikes but women, paragliders, and filmmakers. And then I read something that jumped off the page at me. It's kind of the direction that we're moving today. In Afghanistan, a country where 67% of the population is under the age of 30, and there was a quote from the story. It says this, Afghan women are no longer silent. They are a force for progress, and I have a slide here, and it says this. From now on, this is one of the filmmakers. She was speaking these words out. She says this. From now on, if we have sons, we will teach them to stand up for girls. If we have daughters, we will make sure that they know their value and remember the struggles of the women before them. The story went on to say that this was the generation that was made invisible when they were born into the first iteration of life under the Taliban. The mothers couldn't work, their older daughters, or older sisters, I should say, couldn't go to school, and they had to paint the windows of their homes black so that nobody could see in to see the women and the young girls of the home. And so they were trapped inside the home with their windows painted black. Not anymore. But I was thinking about that quote that I had up on the screen just a second ago, and it was this declaration made by an Afghani woman that said, not anymore. We are going to teach our sons to stand up for girls, and we're going to teach our girls to remember what has gone on. And that just kind of got me thinking. It got me thinking about this idea that is the critical role that mothers play in instilling core values into the lives of their children. You know, a lot has changed for women over the last couple of generations. Can I just highlight a couple of things and you can tell me whether you agree? I'm going to throw a couple of, it's a bit of a different thing, more of a talk this morning than a preach, but do you know that back in the 1950s, only 19% of mothers with small children worked outside the home? By 2008, 60% of mothers with small children worked outside of the home. And, you know, it's kind of like cue the guilt machine. And this idea is that at that time, what people feel is that what happens then is that mothers have less time with their children, and that brings on all kinds of guilt. Arianna Huffington, I found a slide, says this, I think, you see it there, I think all mothers deal with feelings of guilt. Working mothers are plagued by guilt on steroids. But here's the thing. Actually, as studies have been conducted from the 1950s up until now, even though mothers are working far more outside of the home, mothers and fathers are actually spending, statistically speaking, are spending more quality time with their children than they have in previous generations. In fact, the stats are this, that in 1965, mothers spent on average 10 hours a week engaged with their children. Not just in the home, but engaged with their kids. Dads, 2.5 hours a week. Total 12 and a half hours a week with their kids. Fast forward to 2011, moms are spending 14 hours a week engaged with their children, and fathers up from 2.5 to 7. So actually, by today's standards, even though life is more active, and even though moms are outside the workplace and are busy and that kind of thing, they've actually gone, families have gone from spending 12 and a half hours a week engaged with their children to 21 in two generations. Interesting. And with that, you know, I read this, I liked it. It said, throughout most of the 20th century, moms really spent very little time with their kids because there were so many activities that they had to accomplish in their homes. Today, mothers spend less time on housework, amen, moms say, and spend less time being alone or engaged in other community activities in favor of spending extra time with their children. And why am I quoting these stats to you? Because mothers, or the vast majority of moms, are inflicted, as I just mentioned, with this ailment called mother guilt. Moms can sometimes be, moms, would you agree with me, that sometimes you can be your own worst enemies? And the reason why I bring these stats to you is because sometimes we can buy into things that maybe just aren't true if we scratch the surface a little bit. How many of you like Beth Moore? She said this, I really like it. There's a slide there. We're going to have to let the truth scream louder to our souls than the lies that have infected us. And if you're here today and you have been or are infected by mother guilt, I just want to say, let's allow the truth to scream louder than the lie. One of the other things that have changed in regards to motherhood over the last number of decades is that actually there is an increased honor as a society as it relates to motherhood. Do you know that? Back in the 40s and 50s, moms were kind of valued per se, but really taken for granted in many ways. And mothers felt like they had that they were taken for granted. But certainly, stay-at-home moms, and for those of you here who are stay-at-home moms, there's a much greater value and appreciation on you in our society by our governments, by, you know, look, granting 1 year leaves of absence for maternity leaves, by employers who understand. It's like, we got good people here, but it's okay if we release them to have their children and to be gone for a year or more, and then have them come back as part of our company. And society as a whole honors mothers more than we have in the past. Did you know that? I found this interesting. Do you know that motherhood is becoming more privatized? In a good way, let me explain. That in the early 1900s, parents actually welcomed the government to come and to give them advice about being parents. They threw their arms open to the government. In 1914, it was the best-selling government document. It was a pamphlet. It was a book entitled Infant Care that the government published. And in 1912, this is in the States now, in 1912, 125,000 letters were written to the government by mothers saying, please help me with raising my children. I'm seeking advice. Would it be fair to say that today, that it would be that most mothers and families are saying to the government in a polite way, get out of our house. Or as Harrison Ford would say in Air Force One, get off my plane, right? It's like, but there was a time. And so really, motherhood has been privatized. I had the opportunity a couple of weeks back to be part of something in Vancouver called the BC Prayer Breakfast. There was about 1,000 people there, leaders and the premier was there, and leader of the opposition, the lieutenant governor, and they had a speaker in, and his name was Angus Reid. Does anybody here know who Angus Reid is? Angus Reid is Canada's most well-known pollster, and he was invited to speak at this breakfast, and he thought, and he knew months in advance, and so he put a poll into the field that talked about faith, and specifically the part that he was interested in was regarding prayer. And this is the study, the conclusions that he came to, and that is, even though in Canada, because you think it's all going to be doom and gloom, putting a poll into the field about, you know, faith and about church attendance and that kind of thing, and indeed, I think we know the obvious truth, and that is that church attendance has declined over the past couple of generations, but what he was kind of surprised by was that prayer among Canadians has not declined. In fact, 85% of Canadians pray. Now the question is, why? Why is that? That even though they're not going to church, and many people in Canada wouldn't even really associate themselves as being people of faith per se, but why is it that they are continuing to pray? Do you know why? Because something was instilled in them by their mothers. And the studies show this, and this was quoting from Angus Reid's poll, and that was, if you were raised in a home where you never prayed, there was an 86% chance as an adult you will never pray. But you can reverse the very thing, and that if you pray as a child, it's not quite 86%, but there is a high value and there is a percentage. And that's not every day, but there will be a high percentage of Canadians that if they were taught to pray as children, even if they're in church or not, even if they say they're a Christian or not, they will pray as adults. Isn't that something? So then my question is, who is it that you think instills prayer into the lives of their children? Their mothers. Their mothers do. Now, do dads do? Of course they do, but this is a Mother's Day message. Predominantly, mothers and grandmothers that teach their children and grandchildren to pray are creating praying people for their lifetime. Isn't that something? And so if I could, you know, just encourage you, mums and grandmothers and dads, of course, if you are looking for your children to be praying into their teen years and specifically into their adult years, and the study went on to say that the older people got, the more they prayed, by the way, and mothers pray. There's a slide up there I wanted to show you. It's from Abraham Lincoln. He says this, I remember, is it up? I remember my mother's prayers. They always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life. Now with that thought in mind, let's look at Proverbs chapter 31. And everybody, when they go to Proverbs chapter 31, immediately starts with verse 10. We're going to start with verse 1 and go to verse 9, and we may not even get to verse 10, the part that most of us know. It says this, these are, Proverbs 31, first verse, these are the wise sayings of King Lemuel. They weren't exactly sure who that was. They kind of thought it was Solomon, not quite sure. And it says, an oracle his mother taught him. You know what the Living Bible says? The Living Bible says this. These are the wise sayings of King Lemuel taught to him at his mother's knee. What is it that this mother is communicating to her son? She's saying, oh my son, whom I have dedicated to the Lord. Do not spend your time with women, the royal pathway to destruction. Translation, what is that mother saying and instilling into her son? She's saying, son, pursue righteousness, pursue purity, instilled by mom. Verse 4, and it is not for kings, O Lemuel, to drink wine and whiskey, for if they do, they may forget their duties and be unable to give justice to those who are oppressed. Hard liquor is for sick men at the brink of death, and wine for those in deep depression. Let them drink to forget their poverty and misery. What is mom instilling? She's saying, son and daughter, avoid drunkenness. Avoid drunkenness. Because when people are drunk, they do stupid things. How many people here? No. We won't go by a show of hands, but I'm betting more than 50%. Pursue wisdom, right? Mom's instilling wisdom into sons and daughters. Then they goes on to say this. You should defend those who cannot help themselves. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless, and see that they get justice. I love that. I cannot tell you how much I love that, because you know what those, you know the two words that come to mind when I read that? First word is advocacy. The second word, if you're kind of back it out a little bit further than that and kind of put it in more general terms, I think the word is service. And I'm telling you, if we moms and dads, but moms, if we are instilling into our children advocacy and service, we are giving them a great, great gift. We are giving them a wonderful gift. So here's this mother instilling this into her son. So he was going to be the king. He had great calling, he had great destiny, and he had great opportunity. Could I say this? That our children who are here in this community, they have great calling, they have great destiny, and they have great opportunity, because they are sons and daughters on loan to us from the Most High King. And there's a such great opportunity that we have to instill godly things into our children. How important is a mother's words? Well, look at the next slide. I think it's the great truth of today. An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. I love that. I'm telling you, I can get up here and I can pound this pulpit all day, and you can go home and not pick up 1/10 of what your mother is going to be able to put into you. And the mums can say amen to that. It's true. It is truth I'm preaching right now. You know, you can get a little bit here, you know, but the things that our mother instills in us will go a lifetime. They will go a lifetime. And can I say, mums, to all mums who are here, I don't know that parenting ever ends, does it? It's, you know, there's parenting at different ages, but there's always the opportunity, whether your children are newborn, whether they're preschool age, elementary, high school, even into their adult lives, there's always opportunity to be able to invest and speak wisdom and to instill character into our children. Just going to wrap up here. I just wanted to read you, this, and that is, remember I said I wasn't going to read verse 10? Can I read verse 10 through 31 kind of as a benediction, but kind of in a modern form? Can I read this in a modern form? So here it is. You can follow along. It says this, and boy, I got hammered on the first one. It is hard to find the perfect wife. She is worth far more than TV, sports, or an iPad. A husband depends on his wife, with her by his side. He will never be poor. She cares for him all of her life. She never causes him pain and heartache. Her duties are both inside and outside the home. She is a wife, mother, and businesswoman. She shops for the best bargains even outside her neighborhood. Langford, up on McCallum Road. She delights in saving money for her family. She wakes up early in the morning. She makes breakfast for her family and takes care of the pets. She is sensible with her money and contributes financially if needed. She invests in her family's future spiritually. She works very hard to be an example of godliness. She is strong in character and able to do all that is required of her. She is industrious, finishing what she starts, ensuring that all the needs of her household are taken care of. She is kind and giving to those less fortunate than herself. She reaches out to help those in need. The seasons may change, but she does not. She always provides for the physical needs of her family. Her inner strength from God brings her respect. She trusts in God for her future. Her words are filled with insight. Her compassion moves others in kindness. Her home is where the heart is. She dutifully cares for it. Her children voice their appreciation. Her husband praises her, saying, "There are many good women, but none is like you." Beauty can fool the eyes, but a woman who respects the Lord is to be praised. Her beauty comes from her relationship with God. The world will see God's work of grace in her, and she will be honored. Let's stand together. So, Father, we just want to bless and honor every mother who's here, every future mom who's here. Father, every woman who's here with a mother's heart. And we just want to speak blessing over them and honor them today. And, Father, but mostly we want to honor you for your goodness and for bringing incredible women into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.